You are Lord of creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea. You were Lord of the heavens before there was time, and Lord of all lords you will be. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. Lord of all lords you will be.
We've reached the final lesson in our series of lessons entitled Keeping Unity During a Time of Social Separation. I'm thankful that the church at Barnesville was able to join us this week and certainly missed being with them face to face. And hopefully we'll be able to do that sometime in the near future. But I'm grateful for the kind comments that have been sent my way and hope that it has been of some sort of help and encouragement to you during this time. We've talked throughout the week about God's blueprint for unity and some of the characteristics and traits that we need to have as Christians to show the world and show others that we are Christians and how God expects us to be unified. We're going to take this time to talk about one final thing, and I ask that you would stay with me for just a few moments as we discuss the topic of keeping unity by respecting others.
King of all kings, you will be.
Again, just want to thank each and every one of you for listening. Glad that West Main Street Church of Christ in Barnesville was able to come along for the ride this week. And again, I wish I would have been able to be there this week, but thought that this might be at least something that we could do as we were planning on having the meeting this week. And hopefully things get back to normal soon. I certainly want to thank my home congregation in Moundsville, Cedar Avenue, for their support of me and my family, and also the handful of people who have requested that I send these series of lessons to them as well, and all of the kind comments that have come along with that. And it's my hope and my prayer that it has been an encouragement to you. I just want to finish up this series of lessons by talking about respecting others. And we understand that being followers of Jesus is going to bring about major changes in our attitudes and our lives as we continue to study his word. The old ways of the world, beginning from our deepest feelings and reactions and continuing through the outward expression of those actions, must be weeded out as the new man of the heart grows into what Jesus would have us to be. This spiritual transformation, which is spoken of in Romans chapter 12 in the first two verses, demands the very best in us, not only to be good in intention, but also in practical application and in our attitudes toward one another. The New Testament writings of Paul give us a pertinent setting in which those demands of the gospel are illustrated to us. This setting is to be observed in the first century, the problems relating to the eating of meats, which had been offered in idolatrous worship. The Apostle Paul carefully shows how Christians are to willingly yield their own rights on behalf of other Christians who may not be in the same place that they are in at this moment in time. And again, we talked about love and we talked about understanding. And I believe that it would help at this point to read through Romans chapter 14, to read through 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and also 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 22 and through 33, just to gain a context of what we're talking about with some of the liberties that God has extended to us and that we have as Christians. It is obvious that a major problem exists among Christians in distinguishing between the realm of divine will, wherein there is no choice, and the realm of liberty, wherein there is a choice. But so many Christians unnecessarily cause unrest and division over their own cultural preferences, opinionated interpretations, and judgments, even their personal conscience. Through public and private teaching, they attempt to bind on other Christians for their own doctrine. Any situation like this calls for an effort to study the issue at hand. And as discussed in earlier shows, that we need to study and be concerned for them. We need to love them and we need to address them with patience. We must make every effort to respect divine truth throughout the scriptures. But at the same time, we also need to avoid the pitfalls of binding our own human opinions and what we think are right and what our judgments are, binding those opinions on others, and even oftentimes misuse of God's word. And so we need to be very careful about how we approach others in these situations where liberties exist. We must seek to understand that a Christian should give liberty only in the realm where the will of God is not involved. I believe a good example of this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. God's will is certainly involved in the issue of idolatry. He tells us to flee from idolatry because idolatry is sinful. There is only one God, and to him all worship is to be given. On the other hand, whether to eat meats or not was not a matter of God's will, because either way was lawful to them. So in verses 23 through 33 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul deals with an issue within this realm, introducing it with this statement: all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. And in these situations, we must certainly receive one another in liberty with love and understanding. Love is an important key in dealing with another Christian's liberty. Love will lead us to study the other's thoughts on the subject. Love will remind us that we have a mutual relationship in Christ Jesus. Love will lead us to not violate the other person's conscience. And finally, love will allow us to get through the difficulties in this situation. There are always going to be times when we disagree. There are always going to be times when there's difficulties and frustrations between the body of Christ. It's much in the same way that our own family functions. There's always going to be disagreements among brothers and sisters. There's always going to be disagreement between parents and children, between husbands and wives. But can we get through those difficult times if we have the type of love that we've already talked about in one other session? Of course we can. Members of each congregation need to learn to distinguish the difference between the rules that God has set aside for us and the liberties that He has allowed us to have. And when we can do this, when we accept that God's rule is love, and that there are liberties that we can extend freely to others that we may ourselves may not take advantage of, it will greatly strengthen the bond of peace, which is so vitally needed in the church today. I encourage you to continue to study on this idea of unity and unification. And even during this time of difficulty, we can begin to build the unity that we need to have in this world of social separation. And when others see how close we are and how tight-knit we are, it will prompt them to ask questions and to long and desire for that kind of contact, for that type of love and dependency upon one another and upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when they see that unity, hopefully they will understand that that unity comes from Jesus and His death on the cross for us and God's love for us in sending His Son. I encourage you to strive to build this type of unity so that the world can see what God's unity is all about. I encourage you, until the next time, I encourage you to build unity through respecting one another.
I will praise you in this storm, and though my heart is torn.